पवन तारे यमुना तीरा वन थारे जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रभुराज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सर श्री श्रीमद श्रीवेंकटेश अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय नितय गौर प्रमानंदे हरि हरि बोल ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडी श्री कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड बॉडी श्री कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरी टू शिष्य गुरु एंड गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी टू शिल प्रभुपाद की जय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टुके ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय विल बी रीडिंग दिस मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 1 टाइटल द मनुस एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्स फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 इहते भगवान ईशो न हि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नाविसीदन्ति ये अनु ताम इहते भगवानीशो नहि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्ति येनु ताम इहते भगवान ईशो नहि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्ति येनु तम् इहते भगवानीशो नहि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्त्यनुतम् इहते भगवानीशो नाहि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्ति येनुतम् इहते भगवानीशो नाहि तत्र विसज्जते आत्मलाभेन पूर्णार्थो नावसीदन्ति येनुतम् इहते engages in activities of creation, maintenance and annihilation. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Ishaha, the Supreme Controller. Na, not. He, indeed. Tatra, in such activities. Visajjate, he becomes entangled. Atmalabhena, because of his own gain. Purna arthaha, who is self-satisfied. Na, not. Avisidanti, or disheartened. Ye, persons who anu follow tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by His own gain. Yet, He acts as the creator, maintainer and annihilator of this material world. In spite of acting in that way, He is never entangled. Hence, devotees who follow in his footsteps are also never entangled. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Egyarthat karma no anyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled like silkworms in cocoons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities, and because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence in one body after another in different forms of life. For the sake of discussion, I would like to pause there, and as we cover the points, I would like to read the next couple of paragraphs and also try to cover the points, because I have a tendency to forget. So, Huma Jnana Tamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumlitam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमोऽवं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनितनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं देवनुतारिणं. So, thank you all for coming. Today is a holiday, Memorial Day, celebrating or recognizing the sacrifices performed by various veterans. Correct? So, I was thinking that Arjuna is the original veteran. 5,000 years ago, he has been asked to fight in the war with his own kinsmen, and I think that's fine. I shouldn't touch it. And he originally tried to say no, because he has to fight with his own kinsmen and relatives, brothers, and kill them in ghastly war. But he was drafted by Krishna, said, this is your duty. And because of following the righteous path, and because of the guidance of none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he emerged victor. There are certain situations in life we go through where how we act dictates the next steps. How we take a decision, it follows or it becomes a predecessor to our coming future. So the acts that were performed in the holy war by Arjuna were directly dictated by Krishna, so he emerged as a victor. Even after that, we see that Arjuna has, or Yudhishthira Maharaj has some feelings, feelings of lamentation, because so many people got to be killed. For what? Because he wanted to, or he has to be throned. And that is how he was feeling as a devotee. And these were all the original veterans, so to say. So, unfortunately, in today's context, we don't have such guidance by the scripture or by God or by the spiritual master. When we act in such a way, it entangles us in certain actions and reactions. We become the doer, or we become the proprietor, or we want to become the proprietor, we want to become the doer. So we have to, as they say, if you do the crime, you have to do the time. So that's the unfortunate circumstances in material world. So this verse very specifically talks about those activities, or the way we have to act in a way not to become entangled. And before we discuss further about this verse, I just want to, hopefully everybody has some context, but I just want to bring the whole context into the picture. Can anyone say who this verse, or who is speaking this verse? Yeah. Swayambhuva Manu. Who is Manu? Yes. And he is also the avatars, the Shakti Avesha avatars of Krishna. He is one of the incarnations of Krishna. There are different incarnations of Krishna that come for different purposes. And then, like you said, progeny. Because from Manu comes all the Manavas, the progeny, the descendants. So he is the avatar of Krishna himself. And why is he speaking? Because the original discussion happens between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj has this question, a series of questions, which is expanding on the themes and the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one of the questions he asks is, explain more about these Manvantara avatars. Because I heard you describing in the previous chapters about this Manu, but I want to know about other Manus also, because I heard there are other Manus also, other avatars, Manvantara avatars of Krishna, the Leela avatars, the Purusha avatars, the Manvantara avatars. So explaining, Sukadeva Goswami starts answering, and then he starts with none other than the Swayambhu Manu. And then Swayambhu Manu, it's a very interesting dynamic that the whole Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha, because topics related to Krishna are no doubt Krishna Katha, but topics related to the devotees of Krishna are also Krishna Katha. So in the whole Bhagavatam we read about Krishna or his devotees. What do the devotees of Krishna do? They always glorify, they look for the opportunities to glorify Krishna, Kirtanam. And what does Krishna do? He looks for the opportunity to glorify his devotees. This is a mutual exchange. And when Manu, he goes to a forest with his wife, performs severe austerities, Swayambhu Manu with his wife Shatarupa. He goes to this forest, he performs severe austerities, he sits or he stands on one leg at the bank of Sunanda River. And then this is a very one may get bewildered, like, or one may get surprised. What is the need for performing austerities? But as Rishabhdev says, human life is meant for performing austerities. The beginning of human life means we have to perform austerities. For what? Tapasya. Tapasya means to take austerities. But for what purpose? For the ultimate self-realization. That's the first instruction given by the Rishabhdev unto his 100 sons. So Manu is also, he's performing tapasya. His act is exemplary. And then it says that he is chanting or murmured. He was not necessarily giving a class. Very interesting. In other words, he's glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he starts glorifying. It's like Isopanishad 101. How many of you read Sri Isopanishad? So in Isopanishad, the beginning verse, it talks about the proprietorship of Isha, Isha Upanishad. The Upanishads are one of the 108 parts of the Vedas. In one sense, there are 108 Upanishads. And these are like subparts of the Vedas, the four Vedas. And of those, one of the Upanishads is Isop Upanishad. Isha means the supreme controller, and Upanishad means that which brings us close to him. That scripture which brings us close to him. So that is the Isop Upanishad book that we have. It's very interesting that in those 18 mantras, the whole thing is described about, the first thing is about how Krishna is complete. The invocation. And the next thing, very, very next thing is the very first mantra is Can anyone say what's the first mantra? That's the invocation. Yeah, the next one. Yeah. Isavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena taktena bhunjita magrada kasya svetthanam. It's very interesting that while glorifying the Krishna, while glorifying the Supreme Controller, the topic about controller and the ownership is discussed, or at the same time what is the quota is discussed. And similarly, in this few verses before, the very first beginning verses, when he starts glorifying the Supreme Godhead Krishna, Swayambhu Manu also talks about the ownership. Similar, almost similar verse, that he is the, everybody has a certain quota, one should only take whatever his quota, not take others' property, so and so forth. And then the next verses in Is Upanishad are talked about, one can work as long as in that one is in consciousness, one can work for however long. So the work, we are human beings, we have to work, we have to get up, we have to do our chores, we have to go to school, office, at the temple, services. We are human beings. There is no alternative to not to work. Even if one is said that, okay, I don't want to do anything, still he is subject to the laws of nature. So that type of, then what can one say that, okay, is it, so now I have to work, and then I have to get the results of the reactions of my actions, then I'm doomed. I'm doomed this way if I work, I'm doomed this way if I don't work. What is the alternative? How is it that I cannot incur any reactions? One of the reasons that Arjuna gives to not fight war is because Krishna, if I fight, then it's sin. I incur a sinful reaction. If I kill somebody, then I have to suffer the consequence of killing somebody. And I don't want to fight. Is that the perfect alternative? So, Swayambhu Manu is saying, there is a perfect alternative. The alternative is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in opulence by His own gain, yet He acts as the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. So, there is nothing that Krishna lacks. Krishna has everything. He is the Supreme. He is the owner of everything. It's already been established that He is the proprietor of everything. He is the controller of everything. If He is the proprietor of anything, why does He has to act? Maintainer and annihilator of this material world. And how does He act? He acts in these three different ways. He is the creator, He is the maintainer, and He is the annihilator. Three functions given to Krishna. And in spite of acting in that way, He is never entangled. So, okay, here He is, the Supreme Godhead, the ultimate controller. He has no duties to perform. Still He performs those duties. Then what happens? Is He entangled? He says, no, He is never entangled. Hence, the devotees who follow in His footsteps are also never entangled. The remedy for us is to follow Krishna. Krishna doesn't have to act, but still He acts. In Bhagavad Gita, He says in the third chapter that if He doesn't act, then the people, foolish people, will follow His example and everything will be ruined. Yadyada acharate sreshtas tattarevo tarojana. Those who are the great personalities, the sreshtas, these Mahajanas, Mahajanayana Gatasapanta, these Mahajanas' path, the route given by the path given by those great personalities, that is what everybody is following. And if Krishna himself says that I am the God, I own this much, everything, then I don't have to act. What will happen to the rest of the world? Somebody may say, oh, I own this much, or I don't have to own anything, I don't want to act. What is the necessity of action? Actions are required. In Bhagavad Gita is also stated that yajna is required, because by yajna one is satisfying the higher entities, the higher living entities or the demigods. Indirectly they are satisfying Krishna, no doubt, but through yajna one gets the rain. And one gets rain, there is crop, there is agriculture, there is farming, there is harvesting. And through agriculture there is food, and when one eats that food, one nourishes, that is required. Even if a person says, I don't have to do anything, he has to eat, otherwise he will die. That's fine. If somebody wants to die, he is just misusing the body. Forget about using the body for higher realization, but grossly also. Somebody is just neglecting the purpose of the body. So, in this purport, at the beginning, Prabhupada talks about that. Yajnarthat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. So, this is how work binds. Unless we perform any activity that is directed towards pleasing Vishnu, we have to understand that we are incurring our own reactions. We are planting the seed for something that is going to fructify, and we have to suffer either the consequence in a negative manner or enjoy the consequence in a good manner or positive manner when we act. So, there is the yajna is something that is to satisfy Vishnu. Yajna by Vishnu. So when one performs yajna, then there is no sin. There is no reaction. That kind of activity one has to perform in order to be not bound by the material laws of nature. If we do not act in Krishna consciousness, we shall be entangled like silkworms in cocoons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears in order to teach us how to work so that we will not be entangled in this material world. Our real problem is that we are entangled in materialistic activities, and because we are conditioned, our struggle continues through punishment in material existence in one body after another in different forms of life. So, we are suffering, or we have to go through this punishment, conditioned world, material world. It is binding us, bandhana. If somebody says that, okay, Prabhu or Mataji or somebody, can you do this for me? And by the way, after you do this, you will be put into prison. How many of us will be excited to do that activity? Yeah, I want to do this. Give me this job. No, but that is what is happening. The moment we say that I don't want to act in a way that is pleasing to Guru and Krishna, then that means that we want to be the enjoyer or the sufferer of or the consequences of our actions. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Mamaivamso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manasastrani indriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So, this is the problem. The problematic situation of the living entity, that we are bound by the six senses, the material body, the mind, the false ego, the material intelligence. So when we are conditioned in this, whatever we do, it is binding us further and further. Karshate. The living entities are actually minute forms who are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. There is no denial in this. The Supreme Lord is full in everything, and the small particles of the Lord are also originally qualified like Him. But because of their minute existence, they are infected by material attraction and thus entangled. So the Lord is always independent. The Lord is full in everything that we can think of, whereas we are dependent. We may have some independence, but that is also minute. Prabhupada gives this example of the gold ore or gold mine and gold ring. The gold ring is small in nature, its qualities are same, but Krishna is unlimited like the gold ore. You are the mine, you dig and dig, you will get more and more. It's unlimited. We must therefore follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, like Krishna, who is never entangled by his material activities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, we will have nothing for which to lament. Navasidanti ye anutam. So this is the formula given, the success formula in one sense. What is that? That we have to act according to the guidance of Krishna, the instructions of Krishna. If one acts according to the guidance or the instructions of Krishna, then there is no entanglement for such a person. Otherwise, it's like the cocoon, the silkworm in a cocoon that's getting entangled left, right. Its web is created, the worldwide web. It's creating the web. So we get entangled in the world wide web, and the cocoons or those silkworms are getting entangled in their own world wide webs. So this kind of action, that is what is prescribed. Like I said, Isopanishad also similar message. The action, when we perform any action, it has to be under the instructions of Krishna. Next, Krishna personally gives instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and anyone who follows the instructions is liberated. Paragraph. Following Krishna's instructions is possible when one is a devotee, for Krishna instructs that one should become a devotee. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 1865. Always thinking of Krishna means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. But unless one is an initiated devotee, he cannot do this. As soon as one becomes a devotee, he engages in deity worship, madhyaji. A devotee's business is to offer obeisances to the Lord and the spiritual master constantly. This principle is the recognized way to come to the platform of bhakti. As soon as one comes to this platform, he gradually understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply by understanding Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. End of purport. So the formula is, we have to act according to the guidance of Krishna. And then Prabhupada is explaining, what does that mean to act according to the guidance of Krishna or follow the instructions of Krishna? This word in the last paragraph, ye anutam, anu, we are called Rupa Anugas because we are the followers of Rupa Goswami. So anu, in Nectar of Devotion also this word is very, very much highlighted. It's anu. Anu means to follow. What is that verse in Nectar of Devotion where this word comes? Yes. Anya bhilashita shunyam ज्ञानकर्मादि अनावृतम् अनुकूलेन कृष्ण अनुशीलनम् अनुशीलनम् सो दैट शीलना मीन्स द बिहेवियर ऑफ दोज हू आर इन दैट पैथ अनुशीलना दैट मीन्स टू फॉलो द बिहेवियर ऑफ द कैरेक्टर द क्वालिटीज अनुशीलना सो हियर ऑल्सो ये अनुतम He is saying that the person follow the supreme personality of Godhead. He doesn't have any expectation. Krishna doesn't. If we put an offering plate in front of Krishna, he will say, "This is for me. Let me have it." He will have it definitely. He can have it in a different way than what we think of enjoying. His way of enjoying is different. He can enjoy with his own eyes. He can eat with his own eyes or ears, whatever, different functions, different senses. Unlike us, our senses are limited in what they can do and they can only do certain functions. But Krishna has the whole, everything that we can see or what we cannot see and that is beyond our senses also. Still, he doesn't really claim proprietorship saying that, oh, by the way, you are coming here in my land, get out of here. Or this belongs to me, or whatever that is. Only human beings have this tendency to say that this is mine, this is for my enjoyment, this is for my proprietorship. Only human beings have the tendency, I don't want to say it, this in a negative way, but we were at last Saturday and Sunday, we were at the Skoki festival, Skoki cultural festival. The Skoki is next neighborhood of where we live, the Rogers Park area. If you go west of here, you will be in Skoki. And there they had this cultural festival, very wonderful, like some 70 or 80 different countries coming together to organize a festival. What they call as a cultural festival, and we are the Hare Krishnas because we represent also some culture. we went and we put a tent there, booth there, and we put some books and some devotional articles and things like that. And there were some people that were coming, and their expectation was, some people's expectation was that, is this for free? We said, no, this is for donation. You can give some donation and take something. And until in the beginning, some people did not know because they thought like, oh, you can go there and you can take this, take that, take this, take that. So they were taking multiple things and we were like, oh. And I thought that, okay, maybe they knew about it or maybe they don't know. So I said, by the way, that's what you're taking, that's fine, absolutely, but you have to give some donation. Donation? No. So they kept those things there. And then they went back. I said, no, I don't want to pay. And of course, there were some people who were willing to pay something. And they took the books and so on and so forth. And then as soon as we said that, okay, by the way, this thing is for free, they wanted to take more than one. There were some things that were like some magazine or something. And I was thinking that, what is this human tendency? Like, why do you need this particular thing, this book or magazine or something? Why do you need more than one? The same thing, if I were to tell you that you have to purchase it, give a dollar or something, you wouldn't take even one. But when you say it's for free, what will you do? I mean, same book or same magazine, same brochure, whatever that is. What will you do with hoarding? I don't know. Maybe I will give to, I don't know what's the psychology, but maybe they will give to somebody, whatever that is. But taking more than necessary. Especially if it comes for free. And it binds us. When we hoard, when we take proprietorship, the moment we say that I am the proprietor of this thing, that's the starting of ruination. We are not proprietor of anything. We are not the enjoyer of anything. we're only the servant. Like the whole, the part serves the whole. And in that consciousness, when we try to act, that is liberating. That I'm the servant, my part is only to serve. The result is up to Krishna. The enjoyment part is for Krishna. And whatever in, as his mercy, the prasadam we get, prasadam means mercy. Whatever Krishna gives me as his mercy, I will accept that. And when we accept it as Krishna prasadam, I used to, in a very sentimental way, name, like whenever I used to buy a laptop or a new phone, I would name that instrument Krishna Prasadam, at least to force myself to think that, okay, this instrument is not for my own enjoyment or anything, but to make sure that I use it in some words in service to Krishna. Of course, it never happens that way, but at least in a, I guess, to keep myself reminding the naming of the instrument or whatever that is, the laptop or mobile phone or smartphone, whatever that is. So, Krishna Prasadam, it's not for our enjoyment. It's for his enjoyment, and he, whatever in his, according to his mercy, he will give us, we will accept it. That's not binding. And we need guidance. This, I will end with this. We need guidance. Krishna, to follow Krishna means to follow those who are following Krishna. Anushilana. The acharyas, the devotees who are going in that path. I recently came across one thing where, you know, Bill Gates, right? Everybody knows. He was saying that I would encourage some of you to at least read one of these books that are after the, sorry, what is that verse? It's not the, it's off the beaten path, something like that. In other words, it's not something that's being taken by others. Do something creative, or do you take your own path? In other words, he's encouraging people to. It's okay. I'm not saying anything negative with that. I'm not saying yes or no. I'm just, I felt like, oh, do something that's not done by others. That's his message. But this message is that follow the path of Mahajanas, the path that was given by acharyas like His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So when we follow in their path, then that is the way for us to be liberated. That is the way we can be, we cannot be entangled, and at the same time be free from the actions and reactions cycle. That I would like to stop and see if there is any comments, questions, discussion.
Yes. One question.
Yes.
Prabhupada was saying in the purport that to be able to chant, you will not be able to chant unless you're an initiated devotee. So I was just thinking if you can elaborate a little bit on this point.
I was reading that, and so I forgot the book. Is it Hari Bhakta Vilas? Hari Bhakta Vilas. One time, last year, I think, Rompad Maharaj gave here in this temple room, I forgot the topic also. At that time, he discussed this topic of the importance of initiation. So, it is the same instruction coming from Rupa Goswami also in Nectar of Devotion, that one has to accept the shelter of a spiritual master, one has to take initiation, and then the whole 64 items. These are the first few items of 64 items, and then the whole rest. So our chanting, it said that the mantra will have potency if it is given by a spiritual master. There are so many gurus out there, there are so many false things that are going in the world out there. And people give mantras for $10 or $35 or whatever that is, fees. You give some, actually I met somebody in the Skokie festival, and then I was explaining her that this is the chanting, we do the mantra meditation. I was showing the Chant and Be Happy book, and I was saying we do the mantra meditation. And then she said, oh, what mantra do you chant? I said, we chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And I was trying to chant it out. And then she said, oh, I also chant mantra. I also do meditation. And I don't name the... And then she said, oh, I said, oh, really? And then she said, yeah, I got a mantra from a guru. And I said, oh, who is your guru? She's a Westerner. She said that I went to India and I got this mantra from this particular person. I won't name. And I said, okay, that's fine. So what was the mantra? And then she said, Om Klim. And then the other part you shouldn't hear. I said, that's fine. That's fine. Is it helping you? And the conversation ended abruptly, something, something. So that's not something effective. But in order for mantra for us to practice, it has to be coming from the disciplic succession. That is the purpose. So one can say that there are different gurus and all that. I don't want to go through that. But the real efficacy is when we take the initiation and chant, then it is said that the efficacy is there. It doesn't mean that before he came in contact with Sukadeva Goswami, he is. But still he took the shelter of a spiritual master like Sukadeva Goswami. He heard from him and then he perfected the hearing process. He went back to Godhead. So for us, we are not at the same level of Parikshit Maharaj. So it is said that for us, the initiation is a necessary qualification. Is that? Okay. Kevin Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu.
When you were talking about how Krishna enjoys differently than we do, it was making me think about a discussion I had one time with one devotee. He was giving a description how if a devotee like left his body for some reason, if Krishna wanted him to, if Krishna wanted that person to come back home to Godhead with him, like then he would cause that to happen. I was going to say, is maybe an explanation behind that, like, is that a true thing? Like, if Krishna wanted, like, someone to come back to Godhead after they left their body, like, is that something that, does that kind of fall in with the Krishna enjoyment description you were talking about, or is there an explanation, or...
I am trying to connect. What was the last thing you were saying about the enjoyment of Krishna? Because
yeah, if Krishna, like you were saying, if there's a difference between a person's enjoyment and then Krishna's enjoyment, like, but if Krishna wants something, then it, is that a true thing that if Krishna, like, if someone left their body, Krishna would bring them back to Godhead if Krishna wanted it to happen that way, or?
I don't know if I follow your question very well, but let me paraphrase it and see if you think I understood. So your question is, suppose a person leaves their body, and it is said that Krishna wanted that person to go back to him for his enjoyment, because Krishna wanted him to be with him. Yeah, I mean, I would use the word, when a devotee leaves the body, yes, it is said that they but we don't know. Krishna may decide to, for such a person, an exalted devotee, to be reunited with him in his eternal pastimes, or he may decide to send him to some other planet to do the same service he was doing here. We do not know about it. So, in one sense, we do not know what Krishna's will is, unless we are qualified to know. So it's really difficult to say that, oh, ultimately, what is the thing that a devotee wants to do? Whether in this lifetime or next lifetime, whether in this planet or any planet, including Krishna Loka, what is the motive of a devotee? His purpose is for enjoyment of Krishna, correct? Whatever he does as a service to Krishna, to bring pleasure to Krishna. So it doesn't matter whether one is here or in another planet or anywhere else. So from Krishna's side, it is between that devotee and Krishna. It is entirely, that's why it is said every devotee has a unique and very, very distinguished relationship with Krishna. So when Krishna decides, it is up to the both of their relationship. If Krishna decides, okay, you be here, that devotee may be in this material world. When Krishna decides, oh, you come back to me, that devotee may go back to Krishna. It's completely up to Krishna, and because devotee doesn't do anything other than following Krishna, so he's happy either way. So I don't necessarily feel like, okay, if somebody has died prematurely or in a externally what may appear as an improper circumstance or whatever, and others may say that, oh, devotee has, because Krishna wanted to enjoy with him, so he took, we don't know. We don't know. But in case of pure devotees, it could be any of those things. Like Krishna may say, okay, come back to me or go to somewhere else or whatever that is. We don't know. We are not qualified to so-called judge. Okay. I'm not qualified to understand that. It's too elevated for me. Any other comments? If not, we can wind up. Okay. Thank you so much for your attention and participation. Very much appreciated. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.